following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Yo, 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 good morning, gearheads. This is Muscle Mania. I'm your host, DJ Spark. Let's get some wheels spinning and heads turning. Yo, good morning, everybody. It's DJ Spark here again on Muscle Mania. We've already touched upon the Dodge Challenger and the Chevrolet Camaro. Today, I want to bring to you the history, the model years, the generations, and the engine blocks of Ford's Mustang. With that being said, March 1964 was the first production year of the first generation of Mustangs. The generations are as follows: first generation, 1965 to 1973, second generation, 1974 to 1978, third generation, 1979 to 1993, fourth generation, 1994 to 2004, fifth generation, 2005 to 2014, the sixth generation is 2015 to present. With all of that being said, the seventh generation is to come out 2024. There's already been released footage and in-depth reviews on the new 2024 Mustang that is to release later this year. The first generation of Mustang was actually released in a non-traditional manner. The very first production models were seen in 1964, halfway through the year. With that being said, there is a reason why the first generations are known as 1964 and a half models. After that, they have the 1965 models. Prices and demand for these cars allowed Ford to achieve record-breaking sales and marketability. Alongside those points, upgrades and various engine block horsepower adders and torque modifiers were also seen for later generations to come. During this first generation year cycle, in order to compete with other companies and maintain marketability and bringing in revenue, certain performance packages and customizability options were released, one of them being the Boss 429 Mustang, which was seen in 1969 and 1970. Similar to what I talked about in the last podcast regarding the Chevrolet Camaro's 2010 model year, similar to Transformers Bumblebee being a Camaro, a very popular movie series featuring Keanu Reeves nowadays, John Wick, he drives a Boss 429 Mustang in one of the movies, which brings popularity and sort of rekindles a spark of old historical muscle car history. The 429 Boss Mustang came with a naturally aspirated 7-liter Ford 385 series motor with a 4-speed manual, weighing at just under 4,000 pounds at 3,870 pounds. The second generation's introduction to the market, 1974 to 1978. During this time, the new models were known as the Mustang II, specifically introduced in 1973 on September 21st. During these first 2 months of the introduction of this car, one of the historical events known as the oil crisis, which was seen in 1973, actually was taking place. Now, this actually created some turmoil for the Ford company in needing to develop new strategic plans for marketing and various productions offshore. Another important thing to note is the car became available in both a hatchback form and a coupe form, similar to the Camaros in which we talked about last episode. The signature 5-liter or 5.0 engine block, known for being in the Mustangs from Ford, was actually first introduced in 1978. There were other components, including 2.8 liters and 2.3 liters for engines, paired with C3 automatic transmissions. From 1979 to 1993, we see the third generation of Mustang's introduction into the world. In 1979, what is known as the Fox Body Mustang made its debut. The Foxbody platform was actually not initially designed for the Mustang originally. Other cars made by Ford and Mercury, the Mercury Zephyr and Fairmont by Ford, was actually the initial and original design purpose for the Foxbody. The Foxbody takes a more boxy look with a larger capacity for storage, and the engine bay is larger than the previous generation models. The Foxbody is either critiqued heavily from enthusiasts or loved due to its acquired design and taste. With the Foxbody's larger engine bay, they were able to cramp in different types of engine blocks and power outputages with superchargers and turbochargers. There were numerous amounts of different liters and sized engines, ranging all the way from 2.3 liters to 4.9 liters, and even the 5.0. The fourth generation from 1994 to 2004, a 10-year span, made Mustang's debut with the 4.6 liter V8 that came base with 215 horsepower, but was further developed and tuned up in later years in 1998 to 225 base horsepower. The V6 was a 3.8 liter that pushed out 145 base horsepower and was later tuned up to 150 horsepower in 1998 as well. Something important to note, which became sort of a controversy or joke point for car enthusiasts and Mustang drivers, was the 4.8 liter V8. Sorry, the 4.6 liter V8 that was released during this generation often got clowned on, they'd say, or compared to the 5 liter V8 due to its smaller size and lower power output. With that being said, though, just because it's a smaller motor than the 5.0 doesn't mean that certain car enthusiasts were able to push out large horsepower numbers via forced induction. Matter of fact, if you go on YouTube right now, you can find a video of someone who has taken one of the 4.6 liter V8s and made it faster than a large portion of stock cars nowadays, whether that's from Chevrolet or Dodge. And here we go again with the fifth generation bringing a redesign to the muscle car known as the Mustang. 2005 to 2004, there was changes to the front of the car, the rear end of the car, the interior, although still resembling a retro design. Something also very important is the introduction of Ford's GT500. Although it is not as fast as today's GT500, it seems that these muscle car companies all introduced some sort of powerhouse model of a car, similar to that of Chevrolet's ZL1 and Dodge's SRT platform. The GT500 came stock with a 5.7 liter supercharged V8, staggering 505 base horsepower and 510 pound-foot of torque. Those are some high numbers when considering that this came out in the mid-2000s. Also, when we're talking about retro and tying back to historical events, similar to the Boss 429 Mustang, in 2012, Mustang's Boss 302 made its debut. This was a naturally aspirated 444 horsepower along 385 pound-foot of torque. There were special additions that came with different customizability with interiors and seat designs. For example, Laguna Seca was an addition and came with different stitching and labeling on the seats. The powertrain was different, as well as more maneuverability with the handling systems. During the second portion of 2012, similar to the very first introduction of Mustang with the 1964 and a half models, halfway through 2012, Mustang released the 2013 models. With that came the new and improved GT500, which contained, yet again, a supercharged V8, this time 5.8-liter supercharged. With the larger liters on the forced induction device, came with more horsepower and torque numbers, 662 horsepower. That is something to be reckoned with. During these years, the 5.0 also gained new horsepower numbers from 412 to 420 base horsepower. Small, but still makes a noticeable difference. Now to finish the generation recap off, we have the sixth generation of Mustangs, which is 2015 to present. These are all the generations that currently exist and you can see on the street. Nowadays, we have a Mustang with a 3.6-liter V6 engine in it, as well as EcoBoost, which I talked about a few episodes ago. 2.3-liter EcoBoosts that push out 310 horsepower, 3.7-liter V6s that actually push out less horsepower than the turbocharged four-cylinder engines. Nowadays, the 5.0-liter V8s actually push out 460 base horsepower, which is phenomenal out of a naturally aspirated Mustang. This generation also brought out the development in 2019 with the GT350 5.2-liter V8 with 526 horsepower and 429 pound-foot of torque, driven in manual only, similar to how I talked about the historical recap of Ford in a previous episode. That being said, the improved GT500 nowadays pushes out 760 horsepower, and atop that we have the Super Snake, which pushes upwards of 800 to even 1,000 horsepower, depending on the specifications, tuning, and forced induction devices. Some common occurrences when individuals have Mustangs. You have fanboys from other companies on one side saying, "Oh yeah, you can only beat my car because your car's light." Well, you're still getting beat. Or you have somebody saying, "Your car doesn't even look like a muscle car now because it doesn't even look like its old historical roots." Well, my car is still faster, is what Mustang owners will say, because the car is light, and Ford never seems to fail at bringing out performance packages and model engine blocks and new power outputages that just seem to blow the competition out of the water. That compared with the light and maneuverability of the car, not as much so as a Camaro, but definitely lighter than a Challenger or a Charger, will leave other competition in the dust. You will see a lot of Mustangs nowadays due to the fact that they provide such high amounts of power for affordable price ranges. You can pick up a Mustang GT new off the lot before markups and, you know, inflation nowadays. Base prices, you could pick up a 460 horsepower naturally aspirated automatic car for high 30,000s, low 40,000s. Now, that is not cheap to be said when comparing in the grand scheme of things, but for that amount of power, that is definitely a good bargain for the money. I hope that with this podcast, you are able to not only understand where the roots and history of Mustang comes from, but what you're looking at, and also just how fast some of these cars are capable of going. I'm your host, DJ Spark, and today we're concluding the Ford Mustang historical analysis, and I am rolling out.